God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ. Hear the word of God from John 2. Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who were selling doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a den of thieves?" The Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Dear friends in Christ, sweet and loving, meek and mild, gentle and tender Jesus. But not when he sees sin robbing people of salvation and forgiveness. When this happens, tables are overturned, money is crashing to the floor, doves are flying frantically for cover, sheep and cattle are looking for an escape route, the religious leaders are screaming, the onlookers' jaws are dropping, and Jesus is demanding, "Get these things out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a den of thieves?" You see, our Savior is tender, but not with surrender. He's meek and lowly, but he's not weak and he's holy. He's slow to anger, but boy, can he get ticked off when sinners are blowing off forgiveness or cutting others off from the forgiveness of sins that sets us free. The Jewish religious leaders had fallen so far away from the Lord that they had made the substitutionary sacrifices of the lambs and the forgiveness of sins that the Lord provided through those sacrifices to be just a mindless, emotionless, unrepentant going through the works. They were treating the sacrifices which God instituted so that man could be redeemed as little more than a vending machine. You just plug in the right amount of sacrifices and works, and out pops 12-ounce can of forgiveness. Now you can go home and sin for another week. So you see why Jesus is ticked off. When Jesus arrives on the scene, the religious leaders had set up a sort of flea market in the temple of God. Not only did the money changers and sellers of sacrificial animals squeeze every last penny out of those who came to worship, but they had the gall of setting up their flea market in the court of the Gentiles. This is where the Gentile worshipers would sit for worship. And so Jesus comes unglued. Why? 2 Peter 3:9, he wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. The religious leaders were allowing money laundering by the money exchangers and the selling of sacrificial animals at jacked up prices, and were doing this all in the worship sanctuary of the Gentiles. This would be like a congregation insisting that visitors had to buy our hymnals at jacked up prices when they came to worship, and they would sell those hymnals where and while the worshipers are trying to worship. Originally, the priests were trying to help the worshipers. You see, many worshipers had to travel great distances to come to the temple. So rather than having to bring their own sacrificial animals on a long journey, the priest would sell sacrificial animals outside the city near the Mount of Olives to visitors coming to worship at the temple. And the people could purchase sacrificial animals for their sins and the sins of their family, take them to the temple, place their hands on the head of the animal, confess their sins, then the priest would sacrifice the animal on the altar, And God promised that the people would have their sins forgiven and that they would be redeemed through that substitute sacrifice, all of which pointed to Christ's ultimate sacrifice once and for all at the cross. By the sacrifice, God was both teaching his people what their sins deserve. Our sins do deserve death, whether you admit it or not, whether you believe it or not. But above all, he was teaching them that God was providing a substitute to die for them so that sinners could be redeemed. So what ticked Jesus off was that the religious leaders had set up sort of a flea market during the worship service where the Gentiles worship, and they were ripping people off by charging outrageous prices for the sacrificial animals. And they were making it nearly impossible for many people to receive forgiveness. Imagine yourself trying to worship while doves are cooing, sheep are chewing, cows are mooing, people are booing, all where and while you're trying to worship, with the stench of animal dung under your pew. And the priests are giving these crooks permission to make you buy one of the means of grace they're selling at jacked up prices. Now you can see why Jesus got a whip, turned over the tables, chased away the animals and the sellers out of the temple, and he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made it into a den of thieves." The priests were doing in Jesus' day what the priests were doing in Luther's day. Jesus' day, they were selling sacrificial animals, and all people had to do is go through the works of buying them, sacrificing them, and believing that by the works their sins were forgiven. In Luther's day, they were selling indulgences so that the sinner could essentially purchase a piece of paper or earn a piece of paper by their works that promised the forgiveness of sins. There was no promise in the Bible. This was all made up by the church. They had turned the undeserved grace of God into a mindless religion of works. Just go to the temple, buy an animal, kill it, God's happy, go home, sin some more. The devil will tempt you to treat Jesus and his forgiveness like a transaction, and his pardon like a paycheck, and his remission like permission to sin some more. Just go to church once a week, punch the time clock, put in a little pew time, take the Lord's Supper at least once a month, and you should be good to go for another week of guiltless sinning. Forget about repentance, just do the works. Now it's true that God loves everyone, but be careful. While our Lord is slow to anger, Exodus 34, and abounding in love and forgiveness, Exodus 34. He is not a pushover. He can get mad. Boy, can he get mad at your sin and mine. And he gets angry with sin. Not because he doesn't love the sinner, but precisely because he does love the sinner. And he knows that your sin deserves death and will lead to death if it is not truly repented of and forgiven through the forgiveness that Jesus Christ purchased with his blood. Our sins anger God, for they have the potential of robbing you and me and others of the salvation that Jesus laid down his life for to purchase for us. As Jesus cleansed the temple that day, it wasn't pretty, but it was necessary. Forgiveness was at stake. Salvation was at stake. Now let's relate this to our lives. God's word tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." As Christians, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us ever since we were baptized. And also, the Spirit brings Jesus, our Savior, to us and the Father, who dwell within us also. But look at the sin that we pour into the temples of our bodies, just as the Jewish leaders and all those selling animals and exchanging money were doing at the temple of God. We view images we shouldn't view. We pour that into the temple where God lives. We watch movies we shouldn't watch. We say things we shouldn't say. We think things we shouldn't think. We do things we shouldn't do. The percentage of Christians having sex before marriage is nearly identical to those who say they are unbelievers. The percentage of Christians using drugs and abusing alcohol is only slightly less than those who say they're unbelievers. We try to be our own gods. We drag God's name through the gutter. We blow off God's word and worship. We despise our parents and authorities. We hurt and hate our neighbor in his body. We lust and misuse our bodies to please our nerve endings. We steal, we gossip, we're never content. Yet while we try to convince ourselves, yet all the while we try to convince ourselves of the littleness of our sins, at the same time, Jesus is picking up a whip to drive out those who've turned God's temple into a den of thieves, because their sins, whether you acknowledge it or not, are robbing them and others of salvation, and only repentance and faith in Jesus can give it back to you. We may not sell animals in God's house or rip off worshipers of their money or disrupt the worship service for visitors. Look at the sins we pour into our bodies, which God calls the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our sin demands a sacrifice, and a sacrifice demands a temple. So where will we find our forgiving sacrifice and our temple? Jesus said in today's text, "Destroy, sacrifice this temple." And by this temple, he meant his own body. And I will raise it again in 3 days. What should absolutely boggle our minds is that instead of Jesus taking up the whip of God's wrath and driving us away from God, he took our sins into the temple of his own body, and he offered up his own back for the whipping. And he offered up his own body for the sacrifice our sins deserve. In the face of such guilt on our part, and in the face of such love on Jesus's part, would we continue in our sin, pouring it into the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies? Exodus 34 says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellious, yet he does not leave the guilty go unpunished. Referring to those who are still guilty because they refuse to repent of their sins and they just play forgiveness by going through the motions of church and worship and the Lord's Supper, thinking that this is permission to sin rather than a remission of sins. God be merciful to us. When Jesus barges into the temple, he's got every right because this is his Father's house. This is the place where God was and still today is giving out his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus made a shambles of their flea market, of their going through the motions so they can get back to sinning religion. He made a mess out of their total disregard for the salvation of others. Why? Because what really ticks Jesus off is anything in our lives that would rob us or others of his salvation. The religious leaders still didn't get it, so when the dust finally settles, they demand answers from Jesus. By what authority do you do these things? Jesus said, because I'm God. And they said to him, prove it. He said, I will prove it. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. By this temple, he meant his body. In other words, you want proof? Okay, I'll give you proof. You're going to take me, arrest me, beat me, flog me, crucify me, and kill me, and I'll be back alive in 3 days. How's that for proof I am God, and I'm the Son of God. This is my Father's house, and I have the authority to get in the way of anything and everything that is robbing people of the salvation that I bought with my blood. You see, God made the flesh and blood temple of Jesus' body. He made his own body to be a den of thieves. When the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all, and by his stripes we were healed. By God whipping his own Son instead of us, we are healed. By the cleansing of Jesus' blood and washing of our baptism, the Holy Spirit has made us to be forgiven temples in which God dwells and even through us gives out forgiveness. Jesus' shed blood and the Holy Spirit-filled waters of baptism have so thoroughly cleansed us of our sins that God, who cannot dwell with sinners, Psalm 5, now comes and makes his dwelling in us. How can this be? Because we're forgiven. How can this be? Because Jesus said, destroy this temple of my body for the forgiveness of sins, and I will raise it up again in 3 days for the justification of the sinner. That's how we can be sure that we are cleansed and forgiven temples of the Holy Spirit, and that God dwells with us and even in us, and through whom he continues to give us, and through us others, his forgiveness, life, and salvation. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.